the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
And so let's go to the movies. And we're going to talk to Brian Lloyd about the new biopic of Michael Jackson, which is proving to be highly controversial. Not the actual content of the movie itself, which is so bland and sanitized, but what has been deliberately excluded and the reasons for that. We'll get to that with Brian after we've heard a little bit of the trailer for Michael.
Let me tell you something. In this life, you're either a winner or you're a loser. Y'all want to work in a steel mill like me for the rest of your days?
No, sir.
Yeah, because I sure as hell don't. Y'all willing to fight for it?
Yes, sir.
I need to hear you a little louder. Y'all willing to fight for it?
Yes, sir.
Ready whenever you are, Michael.
Woo! Do you know what I'm after?
You want to be the biggest star in the world?
We need to capitalize on Michael's success. Because the Jackson family is the brand. That's our Coca-Cola. And we need to start selling. So, I'm planning an international tour. This is just the beginning.
I need to think.
I told you what to think.
I love my family. I just want to do my own thing. Just have all these ideas in my head. Just got to get them out.
And do it, Michael. Not a little boy anymore.
Michael, I knew you were different the moment you were born. You have a very special life. And mother always told me,
I'd be careful who you love. I believe music can change the world.
Okay, the king of pop, Michael Jackson, the superstar of the 1980s. Listening to that trailer, it would suggest this is one of these standard movies about a star who was ripped off or mismanaged by somebody. In this case, it's his father. But that leaves out the real Michael Jackson story, isn't it? That there were highly credible, highly believable allegations that he was, in fact, not a victim, but he was an abuser, that he was a paedophile, and that's not in the movie.
No, that was completely cut out. And in fact, the Jackson estate exercised the power of their clause where they essentially reshot the entire ending, and they had to put up the money in order to do that. I've heard different figures between $10 million and $25 million that the Jackson estate had to pay out in order to reshoot the ending, because the original ending did begin to go into the child abuse allegations. Now, I should say, the Jackson estate have vehemently denied any involvement with it. They've said that he is completely innocent and that he was acquitted. But the fact remains that these allegations have chased him for years. And, you know, he paid out a massive settlement to one of his accusers in the 90s. And, you know, the film conspicuously cuts right at just when these allegations were about to surface. I mean, it cuts right at the release of the Bad album and the Grammys and so on and so forth. And I mean, this is the thing about Michael Jackson, is in that, like, you know, they could have made 10 films in 10 completely different ways about his life and times. Now, what the film does is it really casts Joseph Jackson, his father, as the villain. You heard him there at the start there, his baby Coleman Domingo. And they talk a lot of it. The film goes into the fact that, you know, he had, you know, really, you know, dominated his life, had complete creative control over everything that he did, and, you know, physically abused him. But, I mean, the film is so, I mean, leave all aside what it's left out. I mean, the film itself is just very, very strange. I mean, there's one scene in particular that stands out to me when they introduce Bubbles, Michael Jackson's pet chimp. And this scene goes on for about like 5 to 6 minutes. And the tone of it is very, very, very strange. And then there's another scene in it when, you know, it's the first night of his recording sessions with Quincy Jones for the Thriller album. He's having this moment where he's, you know,
He's talking to him. Well, we at the beginning of the scene, we think he's talking to somebody. He's saying, you know, no, I'm really nervous, but, you know, I feel like this is going to be a big hit for me, and I'm really excited. And the camera then just pans a little bit left, and he's talking to a llama. And, you know, like, the film finds such weird things.
But that might be truthful.
Point out that, oh, no, I'm sure it is truthful. I don't, like, see, this is it. They're trying to kind of have their cake and eat it too. They're trying to say, yeah, listen, Michael Jackson was a bit quirky, and, you know, he had all his animals and he had a big fixation on it, and he was a bit lonely and he was a bit odd. And, you know, Jermaine and Marilyn and Randy Jackson were a lot more mature, and, you know, they had wives and stuff like that, and he wasn't into that. But, okay, fine. Then make it about that. Don't play it for laughs, you know? It's just, there's so many, I mean, you can tell that this film was made completely by committee, that everyone who was involved in it had to get their oar in some shape and form.
But it's interesting, you know, Brian, isn't it, that yeah. Michael Jackson dead now, but he hasn't been cancelled, and that the movie follows on this, I think, Broadway shows, Vegas show.
Yeah,
there's a whole myriad of business interests on the back of the fact that a lot of people are prepared to put all of these allegations, yeah, which are highly credible allegations, to the side and just enjoy and remember the brilliance of his music.
This is it. I mean, like, look, you know, you talk about separating the art from the artist, and you talk about, you know, it is, yeah. I mean, look, there is no denying it, but there are a lot of people that are going to see this. I mean, I believe, you know, Lionsgate are tracking, and Universal here are releasing it in the UK as well. They're tracking it for a worldwide opening box office weekend of about 120 million. I was at the first screening of it in Cineworld yesterday, and this was at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and there was a decent crowd there already. So I would imagine this weekend a lot of people are going to go see this. Even if it's out of morbid curiosity, just to see, you know, how bad it all is. Because, I mean, the reviews have been, by and large, have been very, very negative.
And what's the performance of Jafar Jackson like, yeah, as Michael Jackson, given that he is his nephew and he has some similarities to him in looks?
He really, I mean, it's not similarities in looks. I mean, he looks, it's insane how much he looks like him. I mean, whatever they've done, whether it's, you know, makeup and prosthetics or what, I don't know. It is incredible how much he looks like him. And especially as well, he's got, like, the voice down. He's got all the dance moves and all the rest of it. So as a technical exercise, I can, you know, you can say that, yes, he does look incredibly like him. And, you know, when they do, you know, there's a scene in there's a section of the film dedicated to, you know, the music videos and so on and so forth. And there's a big set piece where he's learning how to do the Thriller dance and all the rest of it. And, you know, the granular detail that they go into is very, very impressive. I have to say that. But again, it's like, okay, well, I could just, you know, watch a behind-the-scenes documentary on YouTube if that's the case. What do I need a whole film about this for, you know?
Okay, so you're not recommending this?
No, I'm really not. No, it is. Like, it is very, very trite. It is very, very, it's not a biography, it's hagiography. I mean, the way that this is sanitized and sanded down and made completely bland, I mean, there's really nothing to recommend about this. I mean, yes, fine, Jafar Jackson, he looks really, really like him and stuff like that. But there are so many different films that could have been made about Michael Jackson, much, much better ones. They just chose the safest, most inoffensive version of the idea. So, yeah.
Okay. What's Mother Mary?
Mother Mary is probably the film that Michael Jackson should have gotten. This is Anne Hathaway plays an international pop sensation who has suffered a terrible accident, has been withdrawn from the limelight, is about to begin, you know, live shows and back into the limelight for the first time, and has this massive crisis of confidence, and goes to visit her costume designer in this, you know, big gothic mansion in England, and try to kind of A, repair their relationship, but B, also kind of get into, you know, how she's lost her way and how she's lost her creativity. This is written, directed by David Lowery. And really, I mean, this is, you know, one of the few films I've seen that actually kind of gets into celebrity and the idea of, you know,
artistry and what that takes out of people, insofar as, you know, you are giving parts of your body away to people. You are giving your mind, you're giving your voice, you're giving your body, you're allowing everyone pull you in different directions, and how exhausting and how terrifying that can be, and how disassociating that can be. And again, this is the thing, like watching this in concert with the Michael Jackson biopic, they could have easily made a film about that, about how alienated he felt and so on and so forth. But in Mother Mary, it's done in a very, you know, psychologically dark way. Like, I mean, it's almost close to a horror film in part.
Anne Hathaway is getting rave reviews for it. But is this a film you'd recommend going to see?
I enjoyed it for what it is. I would say that it has the problem of kind of disappearing up its own backside in certain parts, because it gets very, very much into the sort of woo-ness of art history and like, oh, is it magic that we create and blah, 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 blah. But no, I mean, it has a lot of qualities to it. I just think maybe it's not for broader audiences. I mean, it is an art house film, so... So go in with that kind of go in with that in your head, and you won't be too taken back by it, I guess.
And very briefly, Exit 8.
Yeah, this is a Japanese horror film based on a video game of the same name. It features this man who is caught in, I guess you would call it another dimension, but it's a subway corridor, and he has to basically abide by the rules of this strange corridor, where he has to point out anomalies that are around the corridor. And if he misses one, he gets sent back to the start. And, you know, it's a very strange concept, but it's this new kind of breed of horror that's coming at the minute called liminal horror, which is about liminal spaces, you know, like empty, you know, empty shopping centers and stuff like that. And you know, the kind of the eeriness of fluorescent lights and stuff has a bit in common with like Paranormal Activity, I would say, where that you're looking at the screen and you're looking for something ajar or something, you know, something off. And it really gives you that sense of like, you know, dread, that atmosphere of dread that you find with those kind of films. It is a bit of a thin concept, but I mean, it's definitely unlike any horror film I've seen in quite some time. So on the basis of that alone, I would recommend that for sure. Yeah.
Brian Lloyd, thank you.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.